Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The title I have is The Joys of Salvation. I got to thinking about this. If I come to y'all and I say there's going to be joy in your salvation, 90% of the time, what comes to your mind? An eternity with our Lord, right? But there are things here and now that we're blessed with. You know, we look to an eternity with our Savior. And rightfully so. I mean, let's just be honest. There are days that you really question why you get out of bed, aren't there? I saw one head shake back there, and I know why. Oh, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to be a good boy. Helen Ray, Sister Helen, she can't wait every morning. She wakes up with a smile on her face because she married me. I'm getting that stony-eyed, poker-faced look. I better quit right there. You know, how often do you stop and think about just exactly how good we have it now? And we do have it pretty good now. There's always something. The best way I know to put it is this. I've known people that never got anywhere in life. And it was always somebody else's fault. So-and-so did this to me and that just ruined it. Them over there, they held me back. Boy, I owe that one over there for something. And there are people in this world that do good to have a pot to cook in. And they're grateful that God gave them a pot to cook in, and they look for the better things to come. And they're grateful for what they're given every day. Which one are you? It just boils down. It's just that simple. Beloved, I can't cover everything that we're given in one message. I don't know that we could spend months on it and cover everything that we're given. But beloved, have you ever sat down and really thought about what you've been given? Has it ever crossed your mind just exactly how good you have it? Have you ever looked around and sincerely from your heart sat down in your yard, in your office, in your vehicle, in the woods, looked up at the sky and said, "Thank you, Lord, for putting me here and giving me what you have. Thank you for giving me this day." He didn't have to, did he? We have things given to us, good things. Things worth remembering, things worth keeping. We have so much showered upon us that were we to sit and thank God for it individually, I dare say that we could spend our life sitting doing nothing but going, "Thank you, Lord, for." We don't, but I think we could. I want to touch on some of the things today that we enjoy now, here, in this present world, in this present company, that oftentimes are forgot because we look so far forward to an eternity with our Lord and Savior that we forget what we have here now. What's one of the things that we have here now? We have the joy of an eternal parent. Yet a parent that is here with us now. What do we do when we pray? "Father, thank you. I need help with this, Father. Thank you for providing." If he wasn't able to hear and provide, what would be the point of that prayer? Would he be an all-powerful God if he could not hear and provide? What have you been provided? Well, let's think about this. And I have a pretty specific context with this, but you could spread it out a little bit further. Romans 8:15-16, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Beloved, I was saved young, but I can remember what it was like to not be saved. And I can remember laying in bed at night scared silly I was going to die. You say, Mike, that's a kind of a silly thing when you're young to lay in bed healthy thinking you're going to die and you're just a kid. I'm going to tell you right now, when you ain't saved, death is a scary thing. I don't care how old you are. Whenever you go to the Lord here, now, some of you are little, some of you are young. Those of us that are older, when you were little, Dad could do everything, couldn't he? Dad could fix everything, couldn't he? We have a Father we can go to now, anytime, anywhere, anywhere. I can drop you in the middle of Antarctica, stark naked. And you know what? You can talk to God. What He will do, I do not know. But I know that He can hear you. I could dig a hole and drop you to the bottom of it. And when you got to the bottom of that hole, God would be there and He would not have been waiting for you to show up. And you can talk to Him. No matter how bad it is, no matter how surrounded you are, you can talk to God. No matter how lonely you are, you can go to your Father. Think about that. I can honestly say that some of the, I won't call it sweetest times in my life, I'll call it some of the times that I have been closest to God, is whenever the bears and wolves and hyenas and lions and jackals and all them things was this far away from me. And there wasn't a solitary thing I could do about it. Nothing in my power did I have. Nothing. But I could say, Lord, please, Father, please bring me out of this. Save me from this mess, Father. I can't combat it. I don't have anything to fight it with. The only thing I have is You. And you know what? I'm standing here today. What a blessing it is. Think about how it had to be for the Israelites, the Hebrews. Where did they have to worship? They had to go to Jerusalem. Think about it. If this church decides, the church is the people, not the building, right? If we decide to go meet out in the parking lot up at Kroger's, we can meet anywhere. We as individuals do not have to have anybody make intercession with us, for us to God. We can talk to our Father wherever, whenever, however. No matter what the condition, no matter what the state, no matter how distraught, and here's something else, no matter how bad the sin. You have done nothing so vile that you cannot confess it. I won't let you in on a little secret. He knows anyway. It ain't like you hid it. You have done nothing so vile that you can't confess it. You have done nothing so vile that He cannot forgive it. Nothing. Beloved, we have the joy of an eternal family. Yet again, we have joy of family here and now. That's right, you all are my family. I'm the crazy one you keep hid in the corner, don't let the kids near, and you see what I'm saying, but you all are family. We are family. How great is that? Now, I don't know, you know, for you all, growing up how it was. One of the things I missed terribly with the loss of my grandparents is that it was a huge family. And come Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Easter, whenever they gathered up at the home place, you could fill a house up. And you think I'm loud. Put about 30 of us in one room. It is on. I miss that. I don't have that anymore. You want to know what? I go down there every Sunday and I sit down at the end of that table. You want to know why I sit at the end of that table? So I can watch. Do you know why I sit and watch? Every Sunday I sit there with you all and I eat and I hear everybody talking and laughing and having a good time with themselves. It is what I need. It is what I miss. It is my family. It is a celebration. And it is what I need. I sit and I look and I'm not alone. And I'm not lonely. When you sit there and you eat dinner, think about that. When we eat dinner on Sunday, take the time one day to look around and realize, I am loved by these people. These people want me here. These people care about me. These people desire to see me. And you should desire to see them. You have the joy of a family. Not only do you have the joy of a family, you have the joy of a family that if they're good family and they're scriptural, they will correct you and help you and guide you and educate you and all these things that come with. Yes, we have an eternity in heaven with our Father and with all those that have gone before us and those of us here now, but we have in some small measure that here now. Tell me, beloved, that when you go to a fifth Sunday or you go to a Bible conference and you've got a good attendance or you get a good heroic revival going on, when they sing "Till We Meet Again" on that last night and it shakes the windows and rattles the rafters, you tell me that that is not a great thing to hear. Tell me when you hear all of your brothers and sisters shout and sing for joy that it doesn't touch your heart and your soul. What I had with that is Romans 8:17. And of children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. There's another part to that. When you hurt, I hurt. Why? I'm your brother. When you hurt, I hurt. When you mourn, I mourn. When you're happy, I'm happy. And it should be the same for all. Me and this candy are not friends at the moment. We ain't even on speaking terms. I'll chew it up and make noises. Beloved, the world out yonder could care less about we in here. Beloved, part of the world out yonder wants you dead because you're alive. In here, beloved, we have joy of family, togetherness, companionship, and a common cause. We all got our quirks and our foibles, but what's the one thing we have in common? Our parent, our Savior, our cause, our desire. That is not shared by that world outside. We have in some small measure today what we will see in eternity. Have you ever said, because I mean, I'll be honest with you, there are Sunday mornings Helen Ray comes in and says it's time to get up and I go, no! And I don't have a choice. And then she says, get up, and the cold wind blows and I get up. But when I'm here, I don't care how tired I am. It's better. I'm with my family. We have a family reunion twice a week. One on Wednesday, one on Sunday. We suffered together, we'll be glorified together. With who? Christ. Remember what Brother Dale said? You ready to die for Christ? He died for you. Romans 8:28, we know this, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called, they're called according to His purpose. How many times have you heard that quoted, right? Think about that. We have the joy of support from our Father. Support. What do you mean support? I mean support. Who gave you the clothes to wear, the job you have, the food you eat, the car you drive, the ride you have, even if you don't have a car. You hear something that stings. Who smacks your backside when you do something wrong? Dale. I couldn't resist that little dig. Who is it that corrects you when you're wrong? And I do want to warn everybody here, I've said it before, I'll say it again. When you're saved, God becomes your parent. When you're not saved, you can go sin away. Most of the time, your sins, you'll wander in your sins and live until you die. Then comes hell. Okay, if you're saved, God's your Father. And if you misbehave, He will take you behind the woodshed and He will wear you out. Got the t-shirt. But isn't that a good thing? Is it not better to be chastised and learn right from wrong than it is to wander in wrong? And here's another thing that gives you comfort. No matter how bad it is, when I say this, I'm going to tell you point blank that when somebody looks at me and everything is on fire around me and I don't have water nor shovel nor hoe enough to get it all stamped out, and they look at me, well, everything works for your good because you're saved. I just want to smack them. Oh, it'll be all right. Come here, I'm going to make it all right. You know, some people just need a hug with a chair upside the head. But, what is the reality of the matter? Steel is not tempered until it's what? Heated. If you work with copper, copper gets work hardened, doesn't it? You flex a copper pipe two or three times, it'll snap. But it's real soft when you first bend it, right? What does it take? You have to harden it. Ha ha, what makes a diamond? Heat and pressure. What makes a great leader? Let's think about that. Everything that happens in your life is according to a plan that God has. And you may not like it. Trust me, I've had things land on my plate that I scratched my head and said, Lord, are you absolutely sure you love me? Because it ain't feeling like you love me right now. I'm just not feeling it. But you know what? Let's use my sins as an example. I got a shed. You know what I've learned about my sins? One thing that has been helpful, you take God can take something bad and make it good. You know something that's helped? I can be witnessing to someone that, well, I did this. So did I, and I'm saved. I'm forgiven. God took a bad thing and made a good thing out of it. I can look at someone that's been out of the will of the Lord and I can say, so was I. I can look at someone that says, I'm scared to walk in a church building. I know what I've done, and I can say, so have I. And yeah, I sound mad. It's because I need volume and the only thing I can do is scream. I got nothing to modulate it with. You watch in 5 minutes, I'm going to sound like that fella in that movie. I'm going to be making, what was it, the mob boss? The Godfather or something? About out of, I got enough to finish. Beloved, we have the joy of knowing that our Father supports us. A good father takes care of his children, doesn't he? I am alarmed by what I see back there. We have the joy of fellowship. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have the joy of fellowship with God. We have the joy of fellowship with one another. You ever been out and meet a complete stranger and they're saved, and in 5 minutes you've known them for 20 years? In my case, they don't have a choice. I won't shut up. I remember when I drove a coal truck, I met one fellow that had recently been saved. And trust me, there are not a lot of saved truck drivers. And I used to love meeting him on the road. The first time I talked to him, in 5 minutes, we were burning up the airwaves on the CB. And every time he saw me, or every time I saw him, boy, I was on that microphone. Why? Everybody else out there cussing and talking about the gorgeous looking women that they seen driving up and down on the road in the cars, and we just clicking up a couple channels and talk about God. That's nice. We had fellowship. He and I were literally alone in that world, in that run, in that area. Two saved truckers, as far as I know, and a whole fleet full of them was lost. It was great. It's not just the joy of fellowship here. Doesn't it feel good when you go to visit a sister church? Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have the joy of contentment. I don't have to be jealous about what somebody has. I have what I'm supposed to have. Is it the best? Nope. Is it new? Oh, no. Well, that's a lie. Part of my equipment is new. I buy 2 or 3 bolts a week. Sometimes an oil filter or something. Is my house the biggest? Nope, don't care. Is it the best? Nope, I don't care. It's the house that I have. It's the house that I was given. Are my clothes the most expensive? Nope, but I ain't naked. Makes me happy. Do you eat the most fancy, expensive food? Nope. But y'all can tell by the circumference of this here preacher, I have not lacked for feed. Amen. Yes, somebody give me an amen. I met a buddy of mine the other day. I hadn't seen him in about 6 months. He walked up, he looked at me and said, man, you done put on 40 pounds. I started telling him as a bold-faced lie, I was closer to 50, but he done already kind of got on my pride. I don't have the best, I don't have the newest, but you know what? I got what I need, and if I need it, I have to be assured that God will give it to me. It may not show up the way I want. It may not show up the how I want. It may not be just exactly what I had pictured. But I know that I have enough. I don't have to worry about it. I can literally sit in my chair at night and say, you know what? I got a chair. I'm good. Are you good? John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have the joy of peace. We have peace in more than one way. I have peace because if I walk out of here right now and have a heart attack, sorry about your luck, I'm going to be having a good day. I'm going to be with the Lord. You don't clean the mess up. Or chuck me in the trash, it's all good. So one sister back here is looking at me like I am not going to get swept up off the floor. If I go out tomorrow and a top comes out and that's the end of Mikey right there in the woods, I'm good. If I walk out in the field and Rachel decides it's time to inherit and mows me over with a tractor, I'm good. I'm at peace. I don't fear death. I don't fear necessarily what life has to offer. Does that mean I'm going to go out and commit suicide? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm not scared. I literally do not care in a good way, not a bad way. There's another way that I have peace. There's peace between God and I. War has ceased between the Almighty Creator and myself. No longer do I war contrary. Now the fight is between me and the flesh. But no more am I at odds with my Creator. My sins are paid for. We are at peace. In my world, I have some measure of peace. Beloved, you can look quite literally, at any given situation. And no matter how horrible it is, and I know for some of you in here, it has been horrible. But you can look and you can say, well, this is as bad as it gets. Is there peace in your life? Have you thanked God for the peace in your life? Has it struck you that in your life, that no matter the chaos that goes on around you, that someone's in control, it's not something random. That through the noise and the confusion and all the things that you can't see or understand in the midst of the storm, somebody has a hand on that storm. They know exactly where you are, exactly what you're thinking. Think about those disciples on that boat when that storm was raging. They were about to lose their minds. Where was Christ? He laying down inside asleep. They come squawking downstairs. He gets up and says, basically, this is a paraphrase, looks at the waves and the wind and says, be quiet and sit still. Why was Christ able to sleep? Was that boat going to sink with Christ? Was Christ going to drown? Christ had an appointment, didn't he? Master, care not that we perish. I guarantee you he cared whether or not. I guarantee right now he cares about whether or not you perish. Here's something else to think about, that peace that you can have. I don't care what happened to you. Christ was God, but Christ was a human being. He got cold. He got hungry. He was insulted. He certainly wasn't no handsome individual. The Bible says there wasn't anything about him that we would desire him. So that implies he may not have been like completely ugly, but he certainly wasn't no prize winner. Dirt poor. If you went through it, he went through it. It's just that simple. You can have that peace knowing that he's been through it. And when you say, Lord, I am about this far, and I have literally said, Lord, I understand that this may be a test or something, but Lord, I'm about this far from popping a gasket and disassembling something. Lord, I need help. He understands. And my version of disassemble doesn't involve removing nuts and bolts. He understands. And finally, and I'm only going to quit twice, Clarence. You remember that. We have joy in knowing this as bad as it gets. I've said this before. This comes from an Arminian preacher. And I can't remember who the line was that Don stole it from. He said even a blind hole can find an acorn once in a while. A lot of truth in this. This is as bad as it gets. If you're here today and you're saved, this is as bad as it gets. I don't care if you end up sitting in a mud hole, naked, starving to death and freezing to death. If it takes your life, where will you go? And Brother Dale talked about earlier the possibility, and I can actually see it with the hatred that's starting to creep into this nation. If you die for your testimony, what does it matter? Where will you be? The bad part will be telling the idiot to hurry up and tie the rope. Because when I leave here, where am I going? I'm going to be with the Lord. It doesn't matter how bad it gets here. It doesn't matter what I lose here. Yes, my heart's been broken more than once at loss. And it'll be broken more than once again before I die, I dare say, over loss. Care, concern, whatever. If you go through this life and you don't have your heart broken more than once, you don't have a heart. You are callous. But no matter how many times my heart is broken, no matter how many times I cry, no matter how despondent I get, no matter how dark it gets, when the matter is concluded, this is but a passing wind. This is temporary. This is as bad as it gets. And the final thing, and this applies to young and old, if you're here today and you are not saved, this is as good as it gets. What I've been talking about right now through this afternoon service are things that the children of God enjoy. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior and you die, hell is your destination. Just as I said that all these things here, all these benefits are had by God's children. If you are unsaved, you are alone. There is no companionship with the children of perdition. It's every hog for himself, root or die. There is no joy of eternal family. You are alone in hell. There is no joy of support. I said it before, I'll say it again. Root hog or die, baby. Every man for himself. You will not be content. You will not have peace because you will always be searching for something to fill that hole. And you will not find it until the Lord finds you. And for those of us that are saved, I want to reiterate again. As we go through the week to come, weeks to come, as you go through the year to come, as much as you can bring it to your mind. And I've been blessed in that because I have one of those lives that's either hurry up and wide open with the choke out or hurry up and wait. But sometimes those wait parts are really good because I can literally sit and think over what I've been given or what I've done or not done. As you can, beloved, take a little time and consider what it is that you've been given. Consider what it is that you have, and consider this. Do you have joy? Are you joyful in your life? Are you happy in your life with the Lord? And if you're not, what can you do? Have you asked the Lord what it is that's lacking to bring that to you? And if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. Brother Dale.